But this is, Richard, a reflective place. Well, we have some young people visiting today. Hello, welcome. They're going to explore. They go down to the creek. They can climb in the treehouse down by the creek. There's a lot they can do. Oh, just one time. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, go. You can get on that spider web if you want to.
I'll get on the front.
That's the spirit of this place. People just come in with children and explore. Some folks come in looking for excitement and adventure. This is not the kind of place it is. It's not a interactive adventure. You bring your own adventure with you. That's what makes this place special.
So what's your favorite part of it?
I just can't imagine. I would say the botanical diversity. We have over 1,120 documented species of herbaceous plants on this property. Over 150 trees. That's why we're a Class 4 Arboretum chartered by the state of Tennessee. We have more species of trees right here than all of Europe, for example. And one reason we do, you're going to see rocks here to thousands of years. We were never under glaciers. This part of the world, never under the seas, the ancient seas. So we've had all these millennia of chance for diversity to come about. And that's what makes Chattanooga area superb. And when you come out here too, you're walking in history. When you step out here, you're in somebody's footprint. It may be a barefooted person from way back, or moccasins of the Yuchi people, or the boots of the Cherokee people, Civil War. Battle of Lookout Mountain started right down here beyond this field. The Battle of Walhatchie came over into right here at Lookout Creek. If you're into history, this is your place. You can come, geology, you can see geology from here up to the top of the mountain. That's a climb of about 1,200 feet altitude, and everything changes. You can take a drive through here in your car. You can walk, you can bicycle. There's a 3.5 mile loop. Or there's 12 miles of connecting trails. You can walk from here down to Skyuka Springs, hugely important part in Cherokee history and ancient history. Or you can go straight up onto the National Park Service trails and go to Point Park, go to the Cravens House, all from right here.
And the Nature Center is where you keep the animals.
Yes, where that's where we're headed. Yeah. Do you want to walk through the forest here?
Yeah, sure.
That sounds like somebody's got some machine going, but we'll go to the right and let's go visit the animal. And these animals, we do not have a zoo. This is not a zoo. Animals come to us, wild animals that are injured, and they simply can't be released. They can be saved, but maybe broken shoulders and hawks. They can never hunt again. Or we have a bobcat that somebody tried to raise in his house, which is against the law. So they end up here, and we call them our animal ambassadors. People can come up, get up close and personal, and learn about bobcats and their habitat, but they can't be released. It's not like we're keeping animals in here for that reason.
And they're also a magnet.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Everybody loves to see the animals. Our snakes are the biggest draw. When you bring out a snake, you will build a crowd. The children will run towards you. The adults will run away from you. Okay, we will enter it, and I'm going to buzz Tish. I told her you might want to come over this way. I was hoping you would. Tish! Hey! Good morning. Say hello to Richard Winham of WUTC. Tish Gilmard.
Nice to see you.
She's our curator of animals. And you see, while we're out here walking, we wanted to talk about what we have going on over here.
So what do you spend your days doing?
Feeding animals, cleaning up after animals, working on enclosures when they need improvement, or changing out substrate, doing enrichment with animals, cleaning the clinic, doing paperwork, answering crazy phone calls, crazy emails. So,
our bobcat came to us from another type of problem, people trying to raise an animal in a home. We can tell the story of that bobcat.
Our bobcat was stolen from the wild as a kitten, and they brought it home to make it a house cat. Big mistake. You know, he ended up tearing up the house.
They had no concept of how big he was going to get?
people don't think. He's a wild animal. But people think, oh, I'm going to conquer this wild animal. I'm going to make it mine, you know. And you can't do that. You cannot do that to wild animals. I don't care how long you have it in captivity. It is a wild animal always.
The red wolf
Glad
story.
To hear that.
The red wolf story is the pièce de résistance of our animal husbandry. Can we walk over and see?
Yeah, there's
not many places in the United States that you can come and visit the American red wolf.
The wolf just has a bad rap. You know, they came over, when the Europeans came over, they brought their fairy tales and their misconceptions with them. And unfortunately, those misconceptions have stayed in place. And so it's our job to educate people why they aren't the big bad wolf.
Little Red Riding Hood, that's where all that comes from.
She got it all wrong. Yeah. She got it all wrong. And there's actually a really good book called The Three Little Wolves and the Big Bad Pig, and that's the true story.
Explain the genetics, what we're trying to do here.
There are only 300 red wolves left in the world. So they are the eighth most endangered mammal in the world. And so we are one of 43 facilities that house red wolves in the world. And we shift wolves based on needs, whether we need a companion wolf or whether we need a breeding pair. And when we create breeding pairs, we actually have a software program that documents the pedigree of every red wolf. And so when we put, the software program will put a male and a female together, and the offspring, the potential offspring is rated. And so if those potential offspring meet the genome diversity that we're looking for, we would allow those two to breed.
See the animals.
Oh, this is cool.
You want to walk down and see some of the others?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll make a little circle here. I wanted you to tell him about the popsicle treats.
Oh, yes.
I think it's so clever.
The campers make mousesicles for some of our larger animals. And actually, it was mousesicle day today at camp. On Monday, the first day of camp, the kids come in and they use little paper Dixie cups and a mouse. And they fill the Dixie cup with water and put the mouse in. And then we freeze it in the freezer. And then they come back toward the end of camp and they peel the cup off. And then they throw it in for the wolves or the bobcat, even the vultures. And so it's this wonderful, cool treat in the middle of the hot summer, and then they get a mouse. Yeah, one of their favorites.
Oreo, you know?
It is. It's awesome. This is nature's garbage man. He cleans up the forest. He rids the forest of things that would make us sick. So they're also very intelligent. And the turkey vulture is one of the only raptors that has a sense of smell, and they can smell carrion up to a mile away. And they fly in circles because they can cover more ground and see more things in a circle. And they'll fly to the carrion. The black vulture will follow them to the carrion and then knock them off, because the black vulture is usually the more dominant of the two. And this red-tailed hawks are in every state in the United States except for Hawaii. They're very common. They see about 8 times better than we do, and they have 2 points of focus, which is really cool. So they hunt on the fly. So when they're flying, they can see where they're going, but they also can scan the ground at the same time.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So if you think about us, you know, you can look straight ahead and see straight out in front of you, but if you were a red-tailed, you'd be able to see your feet as well. All of our animals have permanent injuries.
So what's wrong with these guys?
They both have wing injuries. The female has a permanent shoulder injury, so she cannot fly, and the male has a wing injury that renders him non-flighted.
All of the birds they are caring for at the Nature Center were hurt hunting for food near the road, all of them hit by a car, like the beautiful owl who sits on her perch, staring straight ahead with her one good eye.
She was hit by a car, her eye was badly damaged, and the veterinarian removed the eye. So she's fully flighted, but she would probably not hunt well enough with one eye to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Two barn owls here, and these are the champion hearers of the woods, of the world, actually. They hear better than any animal that's been tested. And they think that they can hear a mouse's heartbeat about 30 feet away. So they have just unbelievable hearing. And that's what they rely on to hunt with, is their hearing.
Well, better move on.
Yeah, it's so nice to see you. Thank you for coming out.
Oh,
thank you. I love it. Thank you.
The Chattanooga Nature Center is only about a 15-minute drive from downtown, but you could be 100 miles from downtown. Out in the nature center, it's peaceful, and the only sounds you hear are the sounds of nature and the children we heard earlier. If you'd like more information, their website is chattanooganaturecenter.org. For WUTC's Around and About, I'm Richard Winham.